The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the all-new 240-horsepower turbocharged Acura RDX. More at acura.com/RDX.
And I think back, but how naive I was that there would ever be a time that there would be a shortage of water that was so prevalent as it is now, even in the Dust Bowl era when Grandpa was managing it, they didn't have water shortages that we've had now. You just turn on the main head gates off the river, there's always water there, and if you needed more water, you just cranked them up a little farther, and that was the way it worked. And so I've really been testing in fire.
Eastern Montana is a land of extremes. The mercury can swing from 50 degrees below zero in the winter to over 100 in the summer. The area is normally fairly dry, but a recent drought has made life even harder on the people who rely on water for their livelihood, and on people like Roger Mugley. Roger is the third generation of Mugleys, whose job it is to divert water out of the Tongue River and into a separate canal, which farmers, ranchers, and homeowners use to irrigate their land. I'm Samantha Brown. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week, we bring you pieces about the intersection between people and place. Up now, Waterman, produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister with Long Haul Productions.
We're standing at the 12-mile diversion dam on the Tongue River, 12 miles south of Miles City. You open the head gates and close the head gates. It's like your valve or faucet in your kitchen sink. And the more you open it, the more water goes into the sink, and in this case, into the canal down into the valley some 27 miles away. It's the lifeline. It's the lifeline to my farm. It's the lifeline to a lot of other farmers and gardeners and people that sell their produce in the summer at the farmer's market. It's what makes it all happen. It's all part of our culture and part of our blood. Water's more valuable than gold. Somebody said once that whiskey is made for drinking and water is made for fighting over. It's absolutely the truth. 5 out of the last 7 years have been really, really dry. Of course, the drought has brought on a whole new gamut of problems. A lot of 100-degree days. The water shortages are just immense, just from the standpoint of the land has to be irrigated more often and you have less water to go around, so the really hot weather really takes its toll on water volume. And you stand on the banks of your canal or whatever and there's hardly any water, and you look out and you see your crop withering before your eyes, and you just feel like screaming. You feel like beating up a fence post. You feel like calling someone, and you just don't know what to do. I probably had 15 at least threats on my life from people that are short of water and feel that I should be able to somehow make their life better and get them all the water. And one guy demanded that I give him a telephone number, that he needed to call somebody up in Helena. And who was that name? He wanted that name and demanded that name. And I said, well, you know what, I know his name, but I don't know his telephone number. He said, well, who is he? I can figure it out. I said, his name's Jesus Christ. You need to get on your knees and pray a little more, and you might get water. But the folks and the politicians in Helena are not going to make any more water in this river. And I think back, but how naive I was that there would ever be a time that there would be a shortage of water that was so prevalent as it is now, even in the Dust Bowl era when Grandpa was managing it, they didn't have water shortages that we've had now. You just turn on the main head gates off the river, there's always water there, and if you needed more water, you just cranked them up a little farther, and that was the way it worked. And so I've really been testing in fire. A lot of the old timers sort of throw their hands in the air and say, well, it's next year country. It's always been that way, and it probably will never change that. And you get this wind and dirt and all of this in your veins, and it's just this constant toil of working with staying here and keep fighting it, because there are just so many things that are just such draws to be here. I used to resent the fact that I'd never been anywhere, never really had time to even go to college. I never had opportunity to go in the service, to go overseas. But you look back at it, and you don't look at it that regretful when you get some years on you and you've been out here. It's such a wonderful place. You can go to places, you can sit for a whole entire day and not have to even see another person if you don't want to. You can actually go down and sit on that riverbank or be in my riverboat, and you could think you could be Lewis and Clark, because there's nothing in so many places along that river that you can't see any where we've been. It just is so remarkable. When these winds start in like early September or late August, you go out and hit a wind straight out of the north, and it's cool and crisp, and you can feel a change. And you can hear all these mourning doves leaving by the millions, these whistling wings as far as you can hear, and you know it's just like, oh, I made it through. The hot days are gone, and my life becomes a whole lot easier because I don't have the phone ringing about water issues. And you just keep looking to the mountains south of us where our snow pack is, and our spirits never allow us to say, well, next year's just going to be as crappy as it was this year. You just always think it is going to be better. And maybe it won't, but I'll bet you the next one will be.
The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we'll pray for water, cool water.
To hear more stories like these, go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to saving the last great places on Earth. Our theme music is by 35th Parallel. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. I'll be back next week with a new Nature Stories podcast.